RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received Singaporean Deputy Prime Minister Teo Chee Hsien. Foreign ministers of Indonesia and Malaysia discussed development of cooperation. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received the honorary visit of Singaporean Deputy Prime Minister Teo Chee Hsien at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Friday, August 11 morning. The president was accompanied by the Chief of Presidential Office, Teten Mas Duki, and Deputy Foreign Minister, I.M. Fahir. Singaporean Deputy Prime Minister Teo Chee Hsien and President Joko Widodo discussed about bilateral relations between the two countries, as well as relations among ASEAN member countries related to the commemoration of the 50th ASEAN anniversary. Both personalities expect ASEAN countries to be more solid and strong in fostering relationships among others because the organization will face increasingly diverse challenges in the future. One of the challenges is global geopolitical rivalry. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi met with Malaysian Foreign Minister Dato' Sri Anifah in the 15th Joint Commission for Bilateral Cooperation, or JCBC, on Friday, August 11, at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta. After the meeting at the joint press conference, Retno Marsudi explained, "This year is a very important year for Indonesia and Malaysia, because this year is the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations between the two countries and the 50th anniversary of ASEAN, where Malaysia and Indonesia are two of the five founding countries of ASEAN." The series of JCBC meetings have begun Thursday with a meeting of high officials. The foreign minister explained, "In the meeting, a lot of issues were discussed, and it reflects the dynamic relations between the two countries. At foreign ministerial meetings, they talk on trade and investment, border issues, labor cooperation, and the eradication of human trafficking, and many more."
Sebagaimana diketahui, Malaysia merupakan salah satu mitra penting Indonesia.
As we know, Malaysia is one of Indonesia's important partners in trade and investment. In 2016, for example, trade between two countries almost reached $15 billion. Malaysia is also one of the 10 largest investors in Indonesia with a value of $1.1 billion. Minister Retno Marsudi further explained, the two foreign ministers also discussed the issue of border. Indonesia and Malaysia have both sea and land borders. For the maritime border, since the last JCBC, Indonesia has held 9 meetings. Both parties have agreed on Provisional Territorial Sea Boundary, or PTSB, in Sulawesi Sea, and Indonesia has requested Malaysia to inaugurate PTSB. for land boundaries, Indonesia welcomes the signing of the 20th Memorandum of Understanding on Joint Demarcation and Survey on Indonesia-Malaysia International Boundary. Both countries agreed to resolve the border-related issues in the area of North and West Kalimantan. Both countries agreed to increase cooperation in the field of employment placement and protection through renewal of Memorandum of Understanding. They also talk on cooperation in combating human trafficking, the establishment of a community learning center in Malaysia, and oil palm to increase the sustainable palm, and to promote against the black campaign of palm oil. The last issues discussed are related to maritime cooperation and other regional issues. Indonesia keeps increasing cooperation with Singapore in various sectors. That was conveyed by Indonesian Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto in his speech in the celebration of the 52nd National Day of Singapore in Jakarta on Thursday, 10 of August. In his speech, the minister said Singapore and Indonesia have been cooperating for 50 years to maintain regional security and stability. Minister Erlangga expressed hope that the two countries could maintain an increased cooperation in bilateral, regional, and multilateral framework.
As both countries continue to work closely in bilateral, regional, and multilateral framework, we achieved much together within 50 years of our diplomatic relations. I have strong confidence that we will be able to collectively address new and emerging challenges to utilize new potential for our mutual benefit. I wish to conclude by reiterating Indonesia's commitment to further strengthen our bonds of friendship in the area of cooperation for both mutual benefit toward realizing full potential economy. I also look forward to working with you to further advance our bilateral agenda and pursue our shared interests at regional and multilateral forum.
Minister Erlangga also said Indonesia and Singapore keep increasing cooperation in various sectors such as trade, economy, and cybersecurity. Previously, the minister said various activities were held to celebrate the 50-year bilateral cooperation of Indonesia and Singapore. One of the upcoming events will be the visit of President Joko Widodo to Singapore to attend country leaders' meeting. Bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and South Korea keeps on increasing significantly. The two countries have concrete cooperation in economy, tourism, culture, and defense. It was said by South Korean Ambassador to Indonesia, Cho Tae-young, at a special interview with Voice of Indonesia at the Embassy of South Korea in Jakarta recently. He said the defense cooperation of the two countries is experiencing fast progress and brings mutual benefit for both countries.
Defense is in this area. Korea and Indonesia have shown excellent cooperation. For us, Indonesia is the biggest market. And also, we bought a lot from Indonesia. That means we bought military transportation aircraft from Indonesia. We are still using that. You bought from us jet fighter, mainly for training of pilots. And then you bought from us submarines.
Furthermore, Cho Tae-young also said Indonesia and South Korea have planned defense cooperation by building jet fighters KFX and IFX. The modern jet fighters will be built jointly by the two countries to support the main weaponry system. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The government is accelerating effort to bring down Indonesia's Gini ratio to 0.370 by 2019 from the current ratio of 0.393. The Gini ratio is a measure of wealth inequality in which 0 represents complete equality and 1 represents complete inequality. National Development Planning Agency Bappenas head, Bambang Brojonegoro, said in Jakarta on Thursday, August 11, that the agency hopes the figure will decrease once again, if not to 0.36, then to 0.37. The figure is more optimistic than the government's target, which was set at 0.380. The government was working to reduce inequality both between the poor and wealthy, as well as between regions. Meanwhile, the government is also targeting to bring down Indonesia's poverty rate to between 7 and 8% from 11.22% in 2015. The country has already launched social safety net programs, such as cash and rice assistance for low-income families to improve their welfare. Bambang said, adding that one of the programs was to encourage the unemployed to open their own businesses, that the agency also hopes that the effort to reduce inequality will be carried out more sustainably. Indonesian Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto claims that the public's purchasing power has improved as reflected by the increasing car sales figure. Minister Erlangga said, at the 2017 Gaikindo Indonesia International Auto Show in Tangerang, Banten, Thursday, August 10, the people's purchasing power is still there. The industry itself is also growing. The investment value in the automotive sector has reached 16 trillion rupiah this year. The growing investment is essential to increase investors' level of trust, which will result in more jobs in the automotive sector. The automotive industry, according to Erlangga, absorbed nearly 1 million jobs in addition to 5 million jobs that are not directly related to the industry. Minister Erlangga claims that, as the largest in ASEAN, the Indonesian automotive market is account for 30% of the global market. The heightened expectation from consumers will force vehicle producers to compete and create better products for them. The last item. Borobudur Temple in Magelang District, Central Java, has seen 100% more visitors. The Tourism Park Administrator, Suhartanto, said on Thursday in Magelang, Central Java, that the increase in foreign tourist visits coincides with the holiday season in Europe. According to Suhartanto, foreign tourist visits to Borobudur have increased from 700 to 800 to 1,400 people per day since July. He added that summer holiday in Europe will extend to October. Suhartanto said that foreign visitors are mostly from the Netherlands, followed by Japan and Malaysia. The prospect of Malaysian tourist visits is quite promising. The same goes for Chinese tourists, whose number is increasing of late. As for domestic tourist arrivals, he said that the number has increased compared to last year. Borobudur Temple sees 5,000 to 7,000 domestic tourist arrivals on weekdays and 12,000 to 15,000 visitors on weekends. Domestic tourist arrivals peaked on 8 and off-year holidays and school holidays. On such holiday seasons, the number of Borobudur Temple visitors can reach tens of thousands of people. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received Singaporean Deputy Prime Minister Teo Chee Hian. Foreign ministers of Indonesia and Malaysia discussed development of cooperation. Listener, that was the news.
This is our commentary for today entitling Guam, North Korea Brutal Target. The United States and North Korea feuds has reached an alarming stage. If North Korea really embodies its threat to launch its nuclear-armed missile. In a news reported by KCNA Wednesday, August 9, North Korea is only waiting for the approval from Kim Jong-un to launch the missile into Guam. This small island in the western Pacific Ocean has become a U.S. military base with more than 160,000 personnel. KCNA quoted the statement of North Korean military chief General Kim Rak-yom
essay. The Hwasong-12 rocket, ulang. The Hwasong-12 rocket, which had nuclear explosive missile, would be launched across Japan and reach around Guam Island. The rocket will fly for more than 3,000 kilometers. It is not directly targeted to hit U.S. If it is done, its impact could lead to an open war with the United States. Why did North Korea issue this threat? Sometimes earlier, President Trump stated, there could be a great military response to North Korea's attitude. This provoked Pyongyang's harsh reaction. Trump is considered a figure who has no common sense. The Trump said that North Korea provoked anger, which was considered nonsense. The United States has previously warned North Korea that what it has done so far could lead to the collapse of Kim Jong-un regime. U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said, what Pyongyang has not had equal ability with the United States and its allies. Mattis also asked Pyongyang to stop its long-range weapons program. Additionally, it is not Trump if he is not issuing a statement containing a strong message. Wednesday in New Jersey, President Donald Trump, through his Twitter account, declared, United States nuclear weapons are more powerful. Nevertheless, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is still trying to convince that North Korea possesses no immediate threat. Seeing the heightened tension between the two countries, many hope that everything can still be resolved through negotiation and not through military force. What is not expected is that North Korea actually launched missile to Guam. If that's the case, then there is nothing else that prevents Trump from taking military action. It is hoped that the latest UN sanction can hardly make Kim Jong-un undo his intention to launch missile to Guam and avoid a conflict that really does not need to happen. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to the regular Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on August 11, 1952. Hussein was appointed as the King of Jordan. Hussein bin Talal was the Jordanian king from 1952 to 1999. He was the longest head of state who led in the executive power in the world. Hussein bin Talal replacing King Talal, his father, on August 11, 1952. King Hussein passed away in 1999 and he was replaced by his son Abdullah. Now we have a look at the next event which occurred on August 11, 1960, the Freedom of Chad. The Republic of Chad is a landlocked Central African country. Chad bordered with Libya to the north, the Republic of Central Africa to the south, Niger to the west, Sudan to the east, and Nigeria and Cameroon to the southwest. As the former French colony, Chad is a poor country. By 2000s, the situation had improved relatively as its per capita income had already exceeded $1,000. Listener, now we conclude today's regular Today in History with an event which occurred on August 11, 2003. Hambali was arrested in Thailand. Hambali, who suspected of involvement in terrorism in Southeast Asia, was arrested in Thailand on August 11, 2003 and detained in Jordan, then transferred to U.S.-run prison at Guantanamo Bay Detention Camp, Cuba. Hambali was allegedly has an important role in the bloody events of the 2002 Bali bombing, which destroyed Sari Club and Paddy's Bar on October 12, 2002. The bomb killed 202 people, including 88 Australians. The three main drivers of the bloody event, Amrozi, Mukhlas, and Imam Samudra, were sentenced to death at the Nusa Kambangan prison in Central Java in November 2008. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Focus. Today we'll invite you to talk about International Symposium of the Asian Constitutional Court. The Indonesian Constitutional Court, MK, hosted the International Symposium of the Asian Association of Constitutional Court and Equivalent Institutions, AACC. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, in his speech at the opening of the International Symposium of the Asian Constitutional Court in Surakarta Wednesday, August 9, reminded the role of the Constitutional Court in facing challenges that often emerge as the impact of the progress of the times. The President said, "The emerging challenges include radicalism, terrorism, globalization, drug trafficking and drug abuse, human trafficking, arms smuggling, and cybercrime." In addition, the President also mentions the progress of the era that gave birth to modern thoughts brought by the younger generation. Therefore, President Joko Widodo reminded that the Constitutional Court becomes the light for the comprehension of a country.
Di tengah terpaan gelombang tantangan terbaru itu, peran dan posisi Mahkamah Konstitusi di setiap negara.
Amid the exposure of new challenges, the role and position of the Constitutional Court in every democratic country become more important, since the Constitutional Court is the light to enlighten the comprehension of a state and is the anchor on comprehending the initial ideas of the national founders of Constitution compiler to feel the patient and genuine intention of national founders. Then, the Constitutional Court can interpret the Constitution so it can continue to be the guide and the nation's and the state's inspiring estuary on responding the new challenges. Therefore, I welcome the implementation of the International Symposium this time with the theme, "The Constitutional Court, Ideology and Democracy in a Plural Society." I hope we all can learn from the experience of other countries, and the result from this symposium can strengthen the quality of our respective constitutional court and our democratic practices. The International Symposium of the Association of Asian Constitutional Court and Equivalent Institutions, AACC, was attended by delegates from 14 countries, including Afghanistan, South Korea, Malaysia, Thailand, Myanmar, Turkey, Uzbekistan, Russia, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, and host Indonesia. Some of the agenda discussed in the meeting, including the election of AACC chairman for the 2017 to 2019 period. In this symposium, Malaysia was elected as the chair of the Asian Constitutional Court and Equivalent Institutions, replacing Indonesia. Since it was declared in Jakarta in 2010, AACC was led by three countries, namely South Korea from 2010 to 2012, Turkey from 2012 to 2014, and Indonesia from 2014 to 2017. Listener, that was the focus. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received the honorary visit of Singaporean Deputy Prime Minister Teo Chee Hian at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Friday, 11 August morning. The President was accompanied by the Chief of Presidential Office Tatan Mastuki and Deputy Foreign Minister A.M. Fahir. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno L.P. Marsudi met with Malaysian Foreign Minister Datuk Seri Anifa in the 15th Joint Commission for Bilateral Cooperation, or JCBC, on Friday, 11 August, at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta. After the meeting at the joint press conference, Minister Retno Marsudi explained, "This year is a very important year for Indonesia and Malaysia, because this year is the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations between the two countries and the 50th anniversary of ASEAN, where Malaysia and Indonesia are two of the five founding countries of ASEAN. Indonesia keeps increasing cooperation with Singapore in various sectors," that was conveyed by Indonesian Industry Minister Airlangga Hartarto in his speech in the celebration of the 52nd National Day of Singapore in Jakarta on Thursday. Bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and South Korea keeps on increasing significantly. The two countries have concrete cooperation in economy, tourism, culture, and defense. The government is accelerating effort to bring down Indonesia's Gini ratio to 0.370 by 2019 from the current ratio of 0.393. Indonesian Industry Minister Airlangga Hartarto claims that the public's purchasing power has improved as reflected by the increasing car sales figure. Minister Airlangga said at the 2017 Gaikindo Indonesia International Auto Show in Tangerang, Banten, Thursday, August 10, that the people's purchasing power is still there. The industry itself is also growing. Borobudur Temple in Magelang District, Central Java, has seen 100% more visitors. The Tourism Park Administrator, Suhartanto, said that the increase in foreign tourist visits coincides with the holiday season in Europe. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, we will invite you to have a culinary tour to Gorontalo. Stay tuned. Listener, karawo or krawang is the traditional cloth of Gorontalo province. It is the product of handicraft which has been inherited from generation to generation since the 17th century. Karawo is the abbreviation for kayita, randeya, and woala, which has been inherited from generation to generations since the 17th century. Karawo is the abbreviation for kayita, randeye, and woala, which means a motif used on karawa cloth. The motifs shaped like hooks and chains. This kind of handicraft is made into various designs such as clothes, handkerchief, tablecloth, bed sheet, etc. Karao is not only interpreted as clothes, but it also means cookies. This traditional cookies is adapted from the Karao fabric motifs, so it is called Karao cookies. Listener, Karao cookies are made of butter, fine granulated sugar, eggs, milk, vanilla, maize flour, and wheat flour. While the ingredients to decorate the cookies are fine granulated sugar, albumin, and fine jar. To make the cookies, firstly the butter and fine granulated sugar are blended, then added with egg yolks, then the milk, butter, maize or corn flour, and vanilla are added to form the dough. Later, the dough is printed based on the design. Generally, the shape of cookies looks like heart and round. After the cookies are printed, those are baked on the oven. When it is done and cooked, the cookies can be decorated. The ingredients, fine granulated sugar, albumin, and vanilla jar, are mixed until the color becomes white. Then, it was divided into 5 parts to be given the different colors, such as white, yellow, blue, red, and green. Once the decoration materials are ready, they can be used to decorate the cookies based on Karao fabric patterns. Listener, it takes quite a long time to make the cookies, especially to decorate it. In order to make the cookies look attractive, it is required great diligence and thoroughness, especially when making the hand embroidery of Karao fabric. Besides the beautiful decoration, the cookies is also delicious. Karao cookies taste really sweet along with crunchy texture. The cookies are usually eaten with tea or coffee. Listener, in Gorontalo, Karao cookies is usually served during religious holidays such as Eid al-Fitri. Moreover, Karao cookies are often bought as parcels and souvenirs from Gorontalo. Almost all of souvenir shops in Gorontalo sell the cookies in the neat packaging. It is sold with 100,000 rupiah up to 200,000 rupiah, depend on the size of packaging. Listener, that was today's regular Indonesian Wonder with the topic of Karao cookies from Gorontalo. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you and sampai jumpa. Thank you.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. We'll meet again in Miscellany. Sail Indonesia is an annual yacht rally tournament that departs from Darwin, Australia. This event is held in every July and is followed by a three-month program related to tourism destinations throughout Indonesia. In this Miscellany edition, we'll talk about Sabang Sail, which becomes the peak of Sail Indonesia 2017 activities. Listener, Sail Indonesia 2017 will be held again. This activity starts from Darwin, Australia on Saturday, July 29, 2017. The participants of Sail Indonesia will arrive in Sabang, Aceh Province on December 1 to December 7, 2017. This arrival is marked as the peak of the activity. As it is known, Sail Indonesia 2017 is an international event that has been held since 2000. This activity is the world-scale yacht rally started from Darwin, Australia to some regions of Indonesia. The yachts will stop over in Bali, East Nusa Tenggara, Thousand Islands, and Batam before continuing their voyage to Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand. The Deputy of Human Resources, Maritime Technology and Maritime Science at the Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs, Safri Burhanuddin, said that Sail Sabang 2017 gives the theme Sabang as the world gates of maritime destinations. Besides focusing on tourism development, Sail Sabang will also be highlighted with various activities. The location of these activities will be focused on 4 points: Sabang Bay, Sabang Fair, Gapang Resort, and 0 kilometer point. Meanwhile, the peak of this event will take place in Pasiran, Sabang Bay. President Joko Widodo is scheduled to attend this peak of event. This location is also planned to function as a cargo port. This event will display various interesting activities such as yacht rally, seminar, science exhibition, Aceh Cultural Week, Sail Sabang Parade, International Aerobics Show, Parasbangan Championships, Wonderful Sabang Exhibition, Marine Exhibition, Sabang Underwater Photography Competition at Ipoh Beach and Capang, Free Dive Championship, fishing competition in Rondo Island surroundings, and many more. The participants can also take a city tour to Banda Aceh, the capital of Aceh Province, and visit the Tsunami Museum. At the opening of Sail Sabang 2017, a colossal dance of Laksamana Malahayati will be presented. For the closing ceremony, a traditional ceremony called Trun will be shown. Sail Sabang 2017 is expected to be able to promote Sabang enchantment with various kinds of its maritime excellences. the success of SEAL Sabang 2017 will actualize Indonesian government's goal to make Sabang as an international maritime port hub, especially for western region of Indonesia. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today with the topic SEAL Sabang 2017, the peak of SEAL Indonesia 2017. We'll meet again next time with another interesting topic. See you later.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to our regular Music Corner. Listener, to initiate today's Music Corner, especially for dangdut music lovers, we will play a pop dangdut song that is very familiar, entitled Terlena by Ikke Nurjanah. The song became a hit song in our country, even in Malaysia. Listener, here is the song, Terlena by Ikke Nurjanah. The title of the song has a very deep meaning because it will be fatal. Because if we see from the point of view on the various aspects of social life, terlena or lalabi means the situation that will not bring change or stagnant. If a nation doesn't want to make changes, they will be outdated. Indonesia as a country has been separated from colonialism since 72 years ago, and it's time to make changes to align itself with other countries. Changes or reforms in various development sectors are a must to realize the goals of the nation's struggle. Well, listener, we will listen to the next dangdut pop song entitled Memandangmu by Ike Nurjana.
Bintang menang. dua hati satu tujuan melangkah bersama. Cinta hadir bawa diriku menyentuh indahnya. Bulan bawa bintang menari iringi langkahku. Malam hadir bawa diriku berjumpa denganmu. Dua hati satu tujuan melangkah bersama. Cinta hadir bawa diriku menyentuh indahnya. Bulan bawa bintang menari iringi langkahku. Malam hadir bawa diriku berjumpa denganmu.
We've just listened to the song, which has been hits in the country around 2000, that brought the popularity of Ikke Nurjanah in pop dangdut music arena. After several albums at the beginning of her career, now Ikke gets more popularity after she proved her professionalism to sing dangdut songs and managed to occupy the top charts. Well, we conclude today's regular music corner by listening to one more song from Ikke Nurjanah entitled Sendiri Saja. Enjoy the song and see you tomorrow. Bye for now.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.